Welcome, Bridge of Hope family, and all that are watching online. I'm really glad you joined us today, and we're going to worship the Lord together and have a great time of worship as we praise Lord God Almighty. I want you to remember the scripture. Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that is a choice. You can choose to be discouraged today. You can choose to think about all the negative. You can choose to think about what you don't have, or you can choose to put your thoughts and minds on Jesus today and know that He is faithful and that He will never leave you or forsake you. If you're feeling alone today, I want you to know that you have a Savior who is right there with you. And if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know that He invites you to get to know Him today and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. So we're going to worship together and meditate on the faithfulness of God as we sing the first hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And we will be having communion later when Eric comes up. So gather your family together. All together, there's powerful anointing in worshiping together. So get your communion elements ready and worship with us as we sing to Jesus today. God bless you.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have need in Thy hands have brought. And a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 besides. Sing it now. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, Thy hands have provided.
Come on, sing it like you mean it now. Oh, great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. So faithful, so faithful. That song has become a family favorite of me and my siblings as we sang that song when both of my parents left this earth and joined Jesus in heaven. And it's precious to me that now my grandchildren are learning that song. And I don't think we can say that enough, that the Lord is faithful. The Lord is ever faithful. Amen. Into your hand I commit again with all I am. For you, Lord, you hold my world. Yes, he does. In the palm of your hand, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, reason that I sing with all I am. I'll walk with you wherever you go. Yes, I will. Through tears and joy, I'll trust in you. And I will live in all of your ways, your promises forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I with all I am. I will worship. I will worship you. Come on, sing it with me. I will worship. I will worship you, Lord. I will worship. I will worship. You are worthy, Lord. I will worship. Oh, come on, sing it now. Come on, worship him. I will worship. You are worthy to be praised. I will worship you. Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. And Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I sing, the reason that I sing. With all I am, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. I praise your holy name. Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. Jesus, you are the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, He's free indeed. I'm a child. At last He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son, come on, sing it, sets free. Oh, is
can be called children of God. Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. We just say hi. And it's good to virtually see you, I guess, this morning. Wow, I got to come down from that just a little bit because, wow, what a lot of truth packed into that song, isn't there? Man, the question I have for you this morning is, do you believe you can be free? Just because I know some people who believe that we're, because the way life is that we are supposed to struggle. And my question is, do you really believe you can be free? If you believe that, then you can listen to the life and to the story of Jesus and adopt what he says. And through that, we can be free and free indeed. So I encourage you this morning to really believe that Christ has set you free, that he wants you free, and agree with that song this morning, because that really touched my heart and strengthened me. We're fixing to take communion. And as always, we kind of read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I just want to go over some highlights real quick, then read a short passage of it. And then we will remember the Lord and his death through taking the elements. But before I read that, I was reading a little bit just as a reminder to me how Paul was actually rebuking the Corinth church, because people were coming in. And the church had division among them, and people were eating in front of everybody, and people were coming in drunk, and it was kind of a mess. And Paul actually said, for this, I do not praise you. I'm not going to praise you for that. So that's why we always take a moment to kind of examine our life, examine our heart, to make sure that we are taking this cup today in a worthy manner. You know, so this is just a good time, and I just want to encourage you. I'm going to just take a moment just to pause and just pray. And if you've let some lie, some deception, something to creep into your life this week, I'd suggest let's just get it right before him. I'm going to go a little bit further and say, if there is a division in your life or among you, then today would be a good day to make a phone call and get this right with that person. You know, just because of the times we're in, that shouldn't shake us. The truth should shake us. The truth should be what sets us free. The truth is what propels us into living. But you know, this is what he was saying. So before that, let's just take a moment, let's examine our lives before him. So Father, we just take a moment here just to pause and reflect upon our lives and our hearts, Lord God, and how, Lord, if we're not careful, that lofty things can come into our hearts, imaginations and fantasies that can create strongholds, Lord, that we give in to the wiles and the schemes of the devil, what we've been talking about. Lord, we have a lot of time on our hands, so sometimes that idle hands is the devil's workshop, as they say, but Father, sometimes a lazy mind allows deceptive thoughts to creep into our thought life. And God, we don't guard our heart, we don't guard our mind with the truth of God sometimes. And sometimes we'll grab a hold of something, we'll read something on Facebook, or we'll read something that somebody's heard, or a news broadcast, or a hyped up hyperbole. Lord God, we'll take it, we'll run with it, God, and that will become, Lord, the truth in our life. And if we're not careful, that truth will deceive us to a bad place. And God, I just pray today as we just... Lord, we want to do this in remembrance of you, your life, Lord Jesus, and what you did, how you modeled, and how you showed us the way, the truth, and life through your very own life. And God, how you've taught us how to love, and how you taught us, Lord, how to Lord, it says there's divisions among you to the church there, how we resolve conflicts, God, and how we do it in a manner, Lord God, that pleases you, that glorifies you. So God, I pray, Lord, in this time, Lord God, we just come to you with a broken and contrite heart to say, God, you're right, this is wrong. We just repent of it, we change our mind on it, Lord, that we can find freedom, Lord, even in our confusion, even in our rebellion. So Lord, I just thank you today, God, that Father, you forgive me for anything, Lord. God, I do not want to take this cup in an unworthy manner, Lord. I want to take it in a way that was meant to be taken, in remembrance of you and the body and the blood. Just thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. What a beautiful thing to be one with the Lord, right? Jesus prayed that, and I like to think that Jesus got his prayers answered. He prayed to the Father that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. And then Jesus went along the way, and he was teaching one day, and he came across a very tough teaching, and he decided to challenge their hearts one day. And he says, unless you eat this flesh and drink of this blood. And many on that day walked away. They had a very fleshly idea of what he was trying to say, but he was talking about the communion in the Spirit. He was talking about the oneness that we get to have with the Lord. And what better way to celebrate that and understand that through communion? The body that was broken, that there's healing for us. And the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away our sins and make us white as snow. Listen, wiping away the handwriting of requirement that was against us in his blood, in his decision, in his love to lay down his life for many. What a glorious Savior that we serve. So in this time, let's remember that. Let's remember what he did. But not only through that, remember, let's not forget the benefits, as the psalm says, that he bore our iniquities and he healed us of all of our diseases. He washed us white as snow. Look, that means we get to go boldly before him and find our mercy in our time of need. So let's take the bread together, and as you remember the Lord, remember he did this, that we would be healed and whole in his name. Just receive that today. And let's take the cup. And forgive me, I don't thank God that I read, but he said, take this, my body, which is broken for me in remembrance of me. He also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, said, this is the new covenant. This is the new covenant. By grace I've been saved, not by my works. I couldn't muster it up enough to get his favor, to get his love, because it was already there for me. Amen. So this, as you drink it in remembrance of me, so let's drink. I love those songs. There's power in the blood, right? It goes from the highest mount to the lowest valley. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, for what this means for us today, that we have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you told us to rejoice in. It is so much deeper than a prayer going to heaven. God, is a connection between us and you. The God, you so wanted us that you're willing to send your son to die, to spill blood and to have his body broken, that we could be whole and understand our created value and who we are in you, and that we are who you say that we are, God. God, you never meant us to be just floundering through life and flopping around like a fish out of water, God. You wanted us to have a power and a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You wanted us clean and restored back to our innocence. You wanted us, Lord God, to walk in power and truth and in light, God. Father, we thank you today as we took the elements, Lord God. We did this in remembrance of you. So, God, we can thrust all of our faith and our trust upon you today. God, we just thank you, Lord God, because you're a God that's a redeeming God. You're a God, Lord, that wants us. You want us, God. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're so good. You're so merciful and you're so kind. So, Father, the rest of this time, Lord, is I just pray for Eric, Lord God. I pray, God, for an unction to come upon him, Lord, that words would pierce every heart, every soul. That God, Lord, that you would use him, Lord, as a mouthpiece to speak, Lord God. And God, that you would just go through these airwaves today, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you would draw people unto you, and you would draw people to repentance, and you draw people to a greater level of revelation and understanding, that God, that people will know, Lord, your will in this time. So we just praise your most holy and almighty name. Amen.
Spirit of God is already ministering to you. I wanted to come to you and just say thank you so much for being faithful in your tithes and offering. This is the fifth week we've not been able to meet together, but your faithfulness has really astounded me. The offerings are very consistent, and I just want to say thank you. That's a church that knows that they're in covenant, not with a local body, but with God himself. And so God bless you for that. If you would, turn in your Bible, or you can watch it on the screen, either one, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. And we're talking today about the Spirit-empowered church. And so we are legal this morning. We have 10 people in the building, and that's what the government has asked us to do. So we're trying our best to do exactly what they say. Romans 13 says to obey the authorities, and that's what we teach. That's what we believe. So that's what we're also doing. But Clay and Marie came in today, and they brought communion to us. And this was sort of an impromptu thing for us. It wasn't planned. And then I didn't tell Treva what I was singing, but it's amazing how the Spirit of God layers the service, truth upon truth upon truth, and brings it all together. And I pray that you're going to know that. If you can remember some of the words that Pastor Ray spoke, and I just asked him minutes before this, would he do that? But some of the things that he spoke, I'm going to be speaking today also. And I think they're mighty, and I think it's a message to us. So Ephesians chapter 2, the last three or four verses. Now, if I could back up for just a second, and in verse 14 he says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Jesus came to break down the walls of separation. Verse 19 he says, "Now therefore you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Amen. Let's pray again. I need to. Father God, I just come before you today, and I'm so thankful for what I already see happening in the Spirit of God. I hear the truths ringing over in my mind and my spirit, and Lord, I feel like I know, Lord, what you're doing today, and it's exciting me, Lord Jesus, as I know that you're speaking truth to the body that's liberating. Your truth is liberating us, Lord, from all the lies, all the deceit that we have dealt with and grown up with and accepted them as normal. And God, you're trying to show us a new normal today, the way the body of Christ is fitted together. And so God, it excites me, Lord. I'm just excited about you, about your truth. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, I'm only a conduit today, God. I pray that you would use me as a mouthpiece to speak the truth of the Word of God, not Eric's ideas, Lord, not Eric's theology, but your truth, God. Speak, Lord, through this little camera and touch the hearts of many, many people, God. Only you know who will see this. But, Lord, we pray right now that the Spirit of God sets his anointing upon the speaker, upon the word, and upon the hearers that will listen to this, God, and there will be a liberating truth that will come forth, Father, for each and every one of us. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. We worship and we honor you. Now let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. I like how he said he's speaking to a Gentile believers and to Jewish believers. And he's saying Jesus came to break down the wall. And so, and then he goes on, he says, "Now we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but we're fellow citizens and saints, members of the household of God." I want you to know there is a unity in the body of Christ. And so when he says that we're members of the household of God, really what he could say is we're family. More than blood, because of the blood of Jesus, we have a new DNA. We're literally family. And you probably, I've talked to so many Christians in my lifetime that would say stuff like this: I'm closer to the people in the church than I am my own family. Why is that? You are family. Now, I was studying one time, and I thought, I wonder how many denominations there are. And I thought, there's probably 100, 150 maybe denominations. I could name 10 probably. And I looked it up, Googled it. Of course, that's where we get all of our wisdom. And I Googled it, and it come out, there's 42,000 denominations. And it spoke a truth to me. The one thing that Christ prayed for his believers is that we would be unified, just like he and the Father are unified. He wants the church to be unified. And I want you to know that the spirit of division may be the strongest spirit that you'll ever deal with. And so what has happened? Has God ordained Pentecostal people or Assembly of God or Baptist or Lutheran? No. God ordained the family of God, the church. I've often driven by churches and they always catch my attention. And I like the sign of the Church of Christ that says this: whatever church it is, so-and-so Road Church of Christ. And then they have two more words: meets here. In other words, that is not the church. It's only a place they meet. But that church meets here. And I think that we have begun to identify with a building, not understanding we are the building. So this is so much more than just in the church, because I believe the spirit of division, that mighty strong spirit, is at work in our society as much as it's at work in the church. Now, God forgive us that we've let our differences separate us. We'll never agree with each other totally. Chances are you don't agree with yourself totally. You know, I argue with myself all the time. Well, I believe that. No, I don't believe that. So we're never going to come to total agreement on things. That's not even necessary. What's necessary, and he never tells us to get it. He says, keep it. Keep the unity. Keep the unity. Why? Because God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit are totally unified. That's the spirit that he brought to his body, to his church. And he said, now you keep this. And what have we done? Everything but keep it. We have allowed Satan to come in and separate the body. And you know, so often I've told us, I said, this is not a factory. We're not producing a widget. We're a family. Family fight. But they love. They always come back and they love each other. You disagree, but you disagree without being hateful. I believe this spirit is also prevalent in our society. You know, I really feel sorry for our president, and I know that this will, some people, when you start talking about the president, will immediately probably switch this off. And I'm sorry that you'll do that. But we've never been this way before. You know, if there's another time like this, they'll go back to the playbook of what they did in 2020, and they'll look and they'll see what things worked and what things didn't work, and they'll try to duplicate the things that worked and cut out the things that didn't work. There is no playbook for what we're going for the season that we're in right now. There's no playbook for the president. There's no playbook for our governors. There's no playbook for our mayors. There's no playbook for the church. We are strictly living in a time where we have to pray for the wisdom of God. And so it's easy to sit back and criticize those that are making the decisions. But that is not what God has called us to do. God has called us to pray for those making the decisions. And I would dare say, church, if we would start praying and quit criticizing, that things may change dramatically. I believe that the way this thing came on, it could also leave just like that, without a vaccine, without all the things that they need. God could just put his foot down and stop this immediately. So he says, we're no longer strangers. We're not aliens. We are family. And maybe that doesn't mean much to you. If you grew up in a dysfunctional family, this means a whole lot to you. And we're all dysfunctional to a certain extent, some more so than others. But Jesus Christ is the head of the family. Amen. So we come together in his unity. And he says we have a foundation. Now he said the foundation is all the words of the apostles, all the words of the prophets, not one of them straight out. They're all together. It's all very unified. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. You know, if you ever build a house, don't skimp on the foundation. And it's the place that you want to skimp because nobody sees it. So you think, well, let's not spend so much money on that. But it's probably the most important thing that you can do before building is make sure your foundation is sure and true, goes below the freeze line, all those things. Make sure you spend the adequate money in the foundation. So we have a great foundation, and it's in Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone, which today we make a foundation. It's a solid foundation of blocks and stuff like that. But in those days, they built on stones. So they would get the best stone that they could get, the most true stone. And wherever they set that, then everything else would come off of that. I remember when I was a junior in high school, I took a carpentry class. And we were building a building, and the head carpenter, the guy, the teacher, he said, "Make sure that's plumb, Eric." And I thought, what's plumb mean? I don't know. I looked at him and he could tell by the dumb look on my face that I didn't know. He said, "Make sure it's true." I was still ignorant. I was like, "Well, what do you mean true?" He said, "Eric, make sure it's straight." I got straight. I understood straight. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He is making sure our foundation, what we're going to build our life on, is true. It's straight. It's plumb. Guys, think about, what if you build on a lie? Everything is going to come crumbling down at some point in your life if you build your life on a lie. We must build on the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. He's that chief cornerstone. So it's not about these walls. And I think Jesus is hard at work. I know people are crying about what we're going through. Preachers are having a very difficult time because they're not able to bring the body in. But I'm going to tell you, I see Jesus in this so much because I think for the first time he's pointing out it's not a building. It's you are the church. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, when I buy a car, I'm very careful what I put in it. I don't put sugar in the gas tank. I don't put salt in the oil. I put the designated things in the right spot. And when he says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" I'm amazed at what Christians will put in their body. And I'm not just talking about food, but food is definitely one of those things. I'm amazed at what we put before our eyes. What will we allow for our eyes to view and to penetrate this head? You know, we have this phrase, gutter talking, gutter thinking. Where's it come from? It comes from viewing a lot of gutter, a lot of things that is debased, and things that Christians ought to have nothing. David said, "I'll set no vile thing before my eye." So I think we need to be careful what we allow in. Our pastor Art used to say, into the gates of our life, into the eye gate, into the ear gate. You know, what are you allowing your ears to hear? What are you allowing your eyes to see? If you catch this verse, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Man, I've just been contemplating this so much. That God dwells in us, it's just a phenomenal thought. That God is in me. And I love this, I am not my own. I don't get to make my decisions. I must seek Him because He's the master. I'm a bondservant. I am His. So we understand the church is not a building. You are the church. The church, the word church is ecclesia. Ecclesia, and it means the called out ones. Never, ever, ever was it God's intention to hide the church in a building. We have been practicing isolation for decades. And now, because we're isolated in our homes, we think it's strange. It's not strange. We've been doing it since the beginning of the time. The church has been isolating in these four walls and saying, we're having church. No, we're not. The church should be on the street. The church should be in Kroger and in Walmart and at your work and wherever you're at. When you realize the Holy Ghost is in you, wherever you go, you're speaking the words of life. You're the church. Now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, I believe, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Why is that? Why is that important? Because we need each other. We strengthen. Iron sharpens iron. We need that. But if you can think of the church like a hospital or a filling station, that's what the church is. We are to come to get our booster shot and to go out and minister to people. That's what God has called us to do. So I believe that, the Lord calls us several things through the scripture. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is probably my favorite. We are the people of God. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You know, I think I'm going to continue to read that verse, but I think sometimes people have a hard time understanding how special you are to God. He says His thoughts are more numerous than the sand on the seashore towards you. God infinitely loves us. He's chosen us. We are special to God. It's a chosen generation. And He said, why? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, and if you, I hope you never get away from that. That God called me out of darkness. So if I understand that God called me out of darkness into His light, I can't be too judgmental on those that are still in the darkness. Right? There should be no place for judgment in the body of Christ. We ought to be looking at these people, loving them, and drawing them to Christ, saying, hey, we found the gift that keeps on giving, right? We found the essence of life, and it's in a man. It's in Jesus Christ. He wants to change your life. A friend of mine was telling me about talking to a girl. And he just asked her, he said, is there anything I can pray with you about? And she told him, she said, no one's ever asked me that question before. And she was so honest with him. She said, my life is a mess. And I just thought about that and I thought, how many people do we live beside? How many people do we shop with, that we work with, that if they got honest with you, they'd say, my life is a mess. And every day we're rubbing shoulders with these people. And we have the answer. Because the answer is within us, right? The Holy Spirit is within us. So God didn't just choose us to set us on a shelf. God chose us to do something. In Acts 17, verse 26, He says, and He is made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. I love what Esther said, for such a time as this, I've come into the kingdom. Esther May, you know, most of my life, I was a big John Wayne fan, and I always thought, I wish I had been born in the 1800s, where we rode horses and cowboys, and man, but you know what? In God's infinite wisdom, he knew not to put me back there, that I was probably too much of a sissy to be a cowboy, too weak. So, but God has appointed me in this era. And I think it's interesting, we need to stop whining about what we're going through and understand God trusted us. God trusted that we would be the voice of God Amen. In today's society Amen. For such a time as this. In a pre-appointed time, and my favorite word in this is grope. That they might grope for him. You grope in darkness, right? When all the lights are turned off and at night, you're making sure you don't stub your toe on a piece of furniture. So you're putting your hands out and you're groping to get wherever you're going. And that's the word that the Lord chooses, because he just said, I've called you out of darkness. So in that darkness that you're in, we are to be groping for the light. Looking for the light to come into our heart. And let me tell you, you know who's got a hold of the light switch? Is the body of Christ. We've got our hand on the light switch, and people are groping around. And if I could just scream to you today to say, turn on the light. Come on, flip the switch, church. Let the people see that we are the light of God, that we understand what he wants to do in their life. So we are the people of God, but he also says we are the body of Christ. In Romans 12, verse 5, he says, so we being many are one body in Christ. One body, not 42,000. Amen. One body. Whether you call yourself Pentecost, Assembly of God, Baptist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Catholic, our non-denomination, which has become a denomination, right? We're one in Christ. Keep the unity. Do not let that spirit of division wants to come in your home. It wants to come in the church. It wants to come in your business. It wants to come in government. It wants to come into the United States of America. That is a strong spirit. And even now, that spirit of division is at work in the Trump administration. And we need to pray for our president. We're members together, individually, each one of us fitted together, each one of us having a part to play. There are no junk pieces. There's no spare parts. Everybody that's been brought in has a divine purpose. And we need to find it out. So I wonder, what is the purpose of God? What is the purpose of the church that God has in store for us? And I will tell you, the purpose of the church is to complete the work of Christ. And I really don't like the word complete. Maybe continue would be a better word, because he said it is finished. But now the work is us. He says in Matthew 16, verse 18, he said, and I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now this particular verse has had a lot of wrong theology to it. He's not really telling Peter that he's building his church on Peter, because he's building his church on Christ. But what I believe he is saying is, I am building my church on revelation knowledge. on the revelation knowledge, because Peter just got done saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood didn't tell you that, Peter, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. And upon that revealed knowledge. So Wednesday night, Pastor Ray and I was talking, we was talking about the Word of God. The written Word of God is Logos, but the revealed Word is called Rhema. So you're reading your Bible one day, and all of a sudden, something just jumps out at you, and you see a truth that you can apply to your life that's going to bring you freedom. That's a Rhema word. That's where God reveals His Word to you, and it's literally like a light bulb going off in your brain. And I've often said, God can show you something in a split second and will take you 30 minutes to try to expound on, to try to explain. It's just like, it's like a download from heaven that God just, bam, there it is. So upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know, I am one, and many Christians are one, that we talk bad about the church sometimes. But I want you to know my heart is that there is nothing like the church. The church is special. The church is powerful. And God loves the body of Christ. And it's more powerful than you can imagine. I believe that when the church begins to pray, things will change. Matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he doesn't say when the world prays, he says, when my people will humble themselves, turn from their evil way, and pray, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Not everybody else. We're looking at sinners thinking that they ought to be better. Sinners are sinners. It's the people that have the light of Jesus in them that needs to let it shine. We're powerful. We have keys to unlock doors that we don't even know. And he says, I can't hardly wrap my mind around this. I don't fully understand it. But he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose will be loose in heaven. You know, I may not have authority for a lot, but I have authority over my home. When my kids was growing up, I had authority over my children. I have authority in this church. We have an element of authority in this town. And I believe we are just not using it. I believe that we have talked on Wednesday night about we don't wrestle flesh and blood. We're wrestling principalities. And we're not talking about binding people. We're talking about binding the spirit that motivates people. So we bind those things. The Lord's Prayer says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. How do we get there? By using our words. Our words are life and death. And Satan has tricked us up and made us speak more death than we're speaking life. It's time we get a hold of this thing under your nose and we begin to choose our words cautiously. And we begin to take the authority on the earth that God died to give us. And we don't just do it alone. You know, if we were by ourselves, we'd be in a bad shape. But he said this. He said, I will pray to the Father. Now, he's telling his disciples this. I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send you another helper. That other helper, that word another, means one of the same kind. Because Jesus was totally human and totally God, he was bound by the flesh. He couldn't be in 1,000 places at one time, but the Spirit of God can. The Spirit of God, there are millions of believers in the body of Christ all over this world, and the Holy Spirit is in every one of them. Amen. We are a Spirit-empowered body. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ. And I often say, but we don't use it. We have it. It's there. But we're still trying to figure everything out rather than rely upon Him. He says He has given us another helper that He may abide with you forever. For ever. That's why we sing verse or sing songs like we're never alone. We're never alone. The Spirit of God is with you. I even thought about the verse the other day that where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there you're in the presence. You know, there I'll be with you. And I thought, how many times, Lord, you have visited me in my prayer closet? How many times have I been driving down the road and I have felt the power of God just instantly come upon me? Why is that? Because we're two, and I believe it's me and the Holy Ghost. I think He makes up the second part. And if He's not there, then we're in bad shape. We're in sad shape. But He is there with us. In John chapter 14, verse 26, He says, but the Helper. So now He calls the Holy Spirit the Helper, the one called alongside, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now let me just tell you something. God can't bring to your remembrance what you have not already put there. It's got to be applied. That's why Timothy said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to systematically and very disciplined put the word of God in your life so that when you get in a need, when you're in a situation where people need to hear life, that the Holy Spirit says, don't speak your words, speak my words. Here's what you need to speak. I love that. And He does that. The psalmist said, let our words be like apples of gold in a place setting of silver. Have you ever met anybody that it just seemed like no matter what the situation, they had the right words to speak? They just, wherever they come, the peace of God is there. They just comfort people. That's what God wants for every one of us. The Holy Spirit is in us so that He can teach us and bring things back to us. In John 16 then, verse 13 and 14, He sort of combines these two truths. He says, however, when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, He'll guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit. You ever wonder how people sometimes know things that they ought not be able to know? It's because the Holy Spirit has brought it to them. The Holy Spirit is still receiving the wisdom of Jesus and bringing it in real time down to us. The word for helper right there in the Greek is parakletos. And it means someone that's called along beside you. So the Roman army, when they would fight in battle, they would fight back to back. So somebody would be right here on my backside, protecting my backside. I would be fighting this way. He would be fighting this way. So if I'm fighting this way, this guy right here fighting, protecting my backside is my paraclete. That's the Holy Spirit for every one of us. The paraclete who is called alongside of us, protecting us. You know, sometimes we fight Him so much. So when the Spirit of the Lord says, turn that channel. Oh, don't look at that. Don't listen to that. What do? I can listen to what I want to listen to. I can do what I want to do. The Holy Spirit is not a killjoy. He's trying to bring life to you. He's trying to shut down the immoral, the ungodly, the worldly. He's trying to shut it off so that His Spirit is larger than anything else in your life. He is our intercessor. The Bible says He prays for us. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our advocate. And He's our counselor. And if you've never been in a situation where you don't know what to do, it's coming. I promise you it will come. And that's where you're going to develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit when you say, Jesus, help me. Give me the words. There's times in our life when we feel almost schizophrenic, like our brain is just falling apart, like we're just going in so many different directions. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has a way of bringing singleness of mind to us. You know, I know right now, I believe I'm talking to people that are a bit distraught, that maybe feel a bit helpless and maybe depressed because they've never been this way before. Well, let me tell you, if you just understood who you are, that you are the body of Christ, that you are spirit empowered. I mean, God, literally God, dwells in you, and we are fretting about a virus? My goodness, have we been sold a bill of goods? We need to just say, Lord, I just take authority over this in the name of Jesus. Whew, that was good. We are to complete the work. We are to continue the work of Jesus Christ. We are His voice, His hands, His feet on this present earth. And we are not here by accident. You were planned by God. Many of you were not planned by your parents, but you were planned by God. God has an appointed purpose for you. And if you will allow Him to live large in your life, He will accomplish His purpose. And let me tell you, I believe there's something that God has individually specific for your life. Now, if you don't do it, will He choose someone else? I'm not sure about that. I just don't know. If I don't reach the person that I'm supposed to reach, do they go unreached? I think probably God in His great mercy will send someone else. But let's not wait for that. Let's be the people that we're supposed to be. Let's reach those that we are to reach. In John 16:8, this verse used to confuse me. He says, and when He, now He's talking again about the Holy Spirit, when He, the Holy Spirit, has come, He'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I thought, what in the world does that mean? We sort of understand being convicted of sin. Every one of us have been convicted of sin. You may be convicted of sin today. As Pastor Ray prayed before communion, I believe the Holy Spirit probably brought things in your mind, that ugly words that you spoke, maybe a spirit of division that came upon you, a spirit of strife, just different things that the Holy Spirit just in an instant just sort of, you just remembered it. You didn't even think about it being the Holy Spirit. But all of a sudden, you just remembered that you didn't act real godly in some situation. And the Lord was giving you time to say, God, I'm sorry for that. Forgive me. Help me to do right. We were convicted of sin. This world is convicted of sin. They know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death for everyone, every one of us. Jesus paid for our sin. Thank the Lord. But the part that used to throw me was, and of righteousness. How can you be convicted of righteousness? Because the church does not like to call themselves the righteousness of God. I don't understand, because we see it all about ourselves, and we don't understand. We stand in His righteousness. I love that song that we sing, we're complete in His righteousness. Not in my righteousness, not in your righteousness, in the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The great exchange is what I like to say, where He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. Don't understand it. Don't know how He does it. Don't always feel that way, right? But God's told me, now, don't walk by feeling. You walk according to My word. His word says I'm righteous, so I'm righteous. His word says I'm a priest, so I'm a priest. His word says, I'm peculiar, and everybody would say, yes, we all see that, Eric. And then He says he will also convict us of judgment. We know that judgment is coming. I wanted to read something. Brother Bob sent this to me over a text this week, and it ministered to him, and I just thought it was so powerful. I'm not crazy about the Message Bible, but I want to read something to you out of the Message Bible. You can go back and read it in your New King James or whatever you want to. But it's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. He says this. Now, the Message Bible was a man that wrote a Bible to his children. So it's not an interpretation. It's not a translation. It's just a very simplified version. So we don't really build theology on it, but it's sometimes it will help clear some things up for you. He says, I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge and the final say on everyone, living and dead. He's about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity. Now this is Paul writing to his son Timothy. And listen, he says, keep on your watch. Don't leave your post, Timothy. Keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge the people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple, which I like. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, and I believe we're in that time, but will fill up on spiritual junk food. I love that. Catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their back on truth and chase mirages. But you, Timothy, you keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. If there is a word for the people of God today, it's right here. Listen to what he said. Keep on your watch. Keep on your post. Do not retreat. This is not the day to retreat. You stay on your watch. You challenge, you warn, and you urge the people that are in your life. Don't quit. Do not quit. Do you hear the Spirit of God? Do not quit. Do not retreat. Keep it simple. They may not have a stomach for it, but that does not mean that we stop teaching about the truth of the Word of God. Jesus Christ is still in control. He's still in charge. He's still bigger than any problem you'll ever face in your life. I promise you, He will not leave you. I love what Samuel told the people of Israel. He said, Ebenezer, thus far he has helped us. And I promise you he'll continue to help us whatever we go to. So my thing is, church, let's quit making excuses. Let's quit acting as scared as the world. Let's quit walking in fear. That's such nonsense. The Bible says, greater is he that's in me than the coronavirus, than the things of this world. Greater is he. Do you understand now who that is? That is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you. And we're worried about a virus. Jesus, help our theology. God's bigger than a virus. He's bigger than our economy. He's bigger than all the things that we're worried about right now. He is bigger. Don't leave your post. Continue to do the things that God has called you to do. Let's tell the world about Jesus Christ. Let's show them that he's alive and well. Amen. God is not sick, and this did not take him by surprise. God is using this time. I promise you, when we get to heaven, I believe the Lord will say, this was my way to get the church out of a building. So what are we going to do? God has deployed his people for such a time as this. We've come into the kingdom. Now what are we going to do with it? Are we going to act as scared as the world? Are we going to walk in the panic that CNN and Fox News and all those things are trying to motivate this frizzy of a panic? I choose not to. Amen. I choose not to. Like Treva started this is the day that the Lord has made. I choose to rejoice in him because I believe that he's still in charge, and I believe that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Guys, I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can just tell you that Jesus is with you. And he is so powerful. The devil don't have a match. Doesn't have a chance against Jesus. Can I pray for you today? Jesus, I come before you right now and I pray for the body of Christ. I pray for those listening. I pray for those that will listen at a later time. Father, I bind the spirit of depression and despair in the name of Jesus, and I loose the peace of God, the presence of your spirit upon all listeners in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bind that spirit of disunity and we loose the power and the love and the unity of the Godhead into each and every life. God, I pray, Lord, right now that each one of us would ask your forgiveness. God, that we have panicked, that we've walked in fear, that we've spoken against people when we should have just been praying for them. God, we have been an instrument used by Satan and we repent of that. Lord, we say now, Lord, we will be your servant. We will speak your life. We choose to focus on you, God. We choose to be used by you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just infuse every believer with the understanding of how powerful they are, that we speak words of life and death, and God, help us to speak words of life to our community. God, I speak life to my family, to my children, to my grandchildren, to the Bridge of Hope Church, to everyone that you have placed under my care. I speak the life of Jesus into them, that the blessing of God would rest upon them, that fear and disunity would leave immediately, that despair and depression would not stand a chance in their life. In the name of Jesus, I pray the power of God would rest upon us. Father, I'm so thankful that you chose us. We are a peculiar people, and you have chosen us to show forth and to sing forth the praises of God. God, the song of my heart is I exalt thee. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. Help us, Lord, as your ambassadors to speak truth to our neighbors, to speak the love of God to them, to be your witnesses, your light, your love to each and every person. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. We're so thankful that you joined us today. The power and the presence of God has been here, and I pray that he has been in your home. So if you would, just raise your hand. Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. No fear. Total peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.